I mean, since I basically agree with what you said, I will make maybe a comment and then ask you a question. Well, the one thing, of course, I don't quite agree is the assumption which you made that, we could assume that the U.S. is a benevolent agent that would enforce human rights, and you discuss even assuming that. I think this assumption, of course, as I said this morning, can be questioned. But even assuming that there is a straightforward contradiction in what Ignatieff says, it seems to me, when he says that principle is not wrong because people disagree with it, nor right because they agree, well, in a democracy, actually, it's not the case. I mean, it's not a question of principle, it's a question of a policy, and it's not, there is no such thing as a policy which is not wrong if people disagree with it. In a democracy, the policy has to be reflecting what people want, and if we are talking about international affairs, then the opinion of 80% of the world population might be of some concern to people who want to make the world more democratic. And it seems to me that there is a straightforward contradiction in their position, which maybe, one should emphasize. Now, the question I have is simply because you mentioned his name twice, I think it's Habermas. Now, I don't understand exactly Habermas' position, nor do I understand exactly Derrida's position, by the way. But it seems to me that at least Habermas has been quite supportive of the war in Yugoslavia, which raised at least whatever the circumstances on the ground were raising legal questions of a similar nature because they were not legitimized by the Security Council. And Habermas was using human rights argument to justify it. He did not use human rights argument to justify the war in Iraq, in which case it seemed to me that he was quite consistently following the policy of its own government. But that's, of course, something which one expects philosophers to do better.
I'm sorry, with the question in there at the end, did you want to...
What do you think, how do you analyze his position?
Say that one more time, I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
How do you analyze his position?
Habermas's position, or the Habermasian sort of position? Well, you are right that Habermas, for one, did support the intervention in Kosovo and came out against the war in Iraq, as did some other people who worked closely with him, including Oliver Preuss, whom I quoted in my testimony, Andrew Arato, Gene Cohen, and the like. Habermas's distinction that he draws, I'm far more ambivalent, but the distinction that he draws between the two is that, and let us take this on actually, is the difficult case. Let us assume that Kosovo was legitimate. If you're a Habermasian and you defend intervention in Kosovo, how do you stand against the war in Iraq? And the argument runs, I think, something along these lines. The argument is, and this is, questionable, but the argument is that in Kosovo at the time, ethnic cleansing was in fact occurring, so the argument runs, which is not the case in Iraq. So when Michael Ignatieff argues, as he did after the war, that the war can still be justified on human rights grounds because genocide took place 20 years ago and there's no end to our moral rights to intervene on that basis, Habermasians would generally would reject this argument. So because in Kosovo the argument runs genocide was occurring, but in Iraq it was not. This is a fundamental distinction between the two. The second distinction is that in Kosovo, the argument runs, the UN was stymied, had really run its course, the argument suggests. In the case of Iraq, the UN was not stymied and there was still room for maneuver and there was still the possibility of some sort of negotiated position to put pressure on Iraq to protect the human rights that were, in fact, being abused, even if they didn't amount to genocide. The third argument that I think is weaker still, but the third argument that is put forward is that in the case of Kosovo, at least it was NATO intervening, a somewhat or more multilateral force than in the case of Iraq, which is unilateral. And finally, the argument that is put forward is that in the case of Kosovo, some of the active parties, European parties, for example, did in fact have the protection of human rights uppermost in their mind and the idea of developing human rights law in a positive direction, whereas since in the Iraq war it is the U.S. acting virtually unilaterally, the argument is that this is an exceptionalist maneuver under a president who says things like, it is not enough to serve our enemies with legal papers, we must go after them. So this is the argument that Kosovo could be justified as a humanitarian intervention, whereas there is no good reason or no good way to in fact justify the Iraq war as a humanitarian intervention. I think this is how the argument would.
Thank you very much.